You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Lizzie O'Leary. Here's another fight businesses and individuals are taking on, the fight to scrap plastic. Cities and countries are banning or charging fees for single-use plastic items like bags and straws. This week, the wealthy beach community of Malibu, California, voted to ban restaurants from giving out plastic straws, utensils, and stirrers. Overseas, Scotland wants to ban plastic straws by 2019. Taiwan is banning single-use plastics by 2030. So, is it possible to entirely get rid of these throwaway plastic items? Eric Goldstein, senior attorney and New York City Environment Director at the National Resources Defense Council, joins us to discuss. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kimberly.
So, how much single-use plastic do we use in the United States?
Well, we use huge volumes, and the amount is growing. When I was a kid growing up in New York City, we used to have paper bags at supermarkets, and most of our products were durable. Now, everything from pens, razors, lighters, utensils, shopping bags, coffee cups, water bottles, we've become a disposable society, and we get some short-term benefits from that, but the long-term impacts to the environment are significant.
Why is there so much focus on eliminating this particular kind of plastic, single-use plastic, as opposed to plastics in general?
Clearly, we're not going to get rid of all plastics anytime soon, but there's a lot that can be done, and a smart place to start is with single-use plastics like shopping bags and coffee cups and water bottles and single-use packaging. These are products that provide momentary conveniences, but they come at a steep cost to the environment.
And are these kinds of bans, like the one in Malibu, are they effective?
They are effective both in reducing the amount of plastic waste that is generated. In some cases, communities that have prohibited plastic shopping bags or styrofoam polystyrene coffee cups have seen the amount of those wastes decline by two-thirds or three-quarters or more.
But this is mostly happening in cities, and in particular, coastal cities. So do these kinds of individual bans in these communities actually have a meaningful impact on reducing plastics overall?
Well, this is just the beginnings of an effort to reverse 50 years of throwaway society living. And so the first steps are being taken now, and the trends are spreading both throughout the nation and indeed throughout the world. Countries from Ireland to Israel have been reducing single-use plastics. The EU has taken steps to make manufacturers responsible for the amount of wastes they generate and for disposing of it. And so the trend to more sustainable waste handling is just in its early phases.
So what would it cost to actually phase out single-use plastics, and what would replace it?
In many instances, there are less environmentally problematic materials, whether they are compostable materials made from agricultural wastes or recycled materials, or whether they are more durable products that can last longer periods of time. The price signals in the system are distorted. The costs of water and air pollution in the manufacture of plastic products aren't considered as a factor because they're discharged into the commons. And the marketplace hasn't factored in the true cost of plastic waste into the selling price of the products. So once those external economic factors are factored in, we'd have a much more equitable way of making choices. There should be choices available, of course, to all, but we need to do a better job of getting the economics right.
Eric Goldstein is the New York City Environment Director for the National Resources Defense Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly.